Here at Early Excellence, we specialise in early childhood education. We offer expert advice and guidance through training, consultancy and classroom design. With the Early Excellence podcast, we aim to inspire and support you as well as challenge your thinking. So if that's what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. Hello everybody, Andy Burt here. Welcome along to episode 194 of the Early Excellence podcast. In this week's episode, we've talked to Leanne Foster, who's an early years leader at a school in Knowsley in Liverpool. And their school was recently involved in an Ofsted pilot inspection for the new framework. And so I was really keen to talk to Leanne all about the experiences that she had as part of that process. So there's a lot here. If you're expecting an Ofsted inspection in the near future, there's a lot here I think that you'll want to listen to. Lots here on what to expect from an inspection within that new framework. There's a lot of detail here in terms of Leanne's experiences. So here you go. Here's my Early Excellence podcast chat with Leanne Foster. Hi Leanne, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you, Andy.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's lovely to be here.
It's good to have you here. Thank you. And I appreciate that you're joining us right at the end of a very busy term when everybody is very tired and on their knees. And so I appreciate the time that you're giving us. It's really, really valued.
Lovely to be invited.
Fab. Right. So we are going to talk all about Ofsted, aren't we? Because earlier on this term, you had a fairly unique experience in that you were one of the pilot schools for the Ofsted inspections for the new framework. And when I heard about that and when I bumped into you at a conference over in Liverpool, which is, of course, where you're based and where your schools are, it made me think. And I thought, well, actually, people will find it really useful, I think, to hear about your experience in that pilot. And also, you've got quite a unique role as well, I think, across two schools. And it'd be interesting to kind of find out about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Could we start off with a bit of an introduction? Would that be okay?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I've been teaching for coming up to 15 years now already. It feels like a blink of an eye.
Yes, it flies by, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And the majority of my time has been at the school that I'm based at. The majority is in Parkview Academy in Highton, and we're a member of the Dean Trust, so we're part of a multi-academy trust. And within the Highton area, we have Parkview, we also have Blacklow Brow. A couple of years ago, I was asked if I would step up to be the early years lead for Parkview Academy, which I happily agreed to, having been here for quite a while, and also having been through a few Ofsteds that I didn't get to get my say in. So I took that opportunity quite gladly. And then basically once I'd done about a year of that and we'd had an Ofsted here at Parkview, I was asked if I would lead over in Blacklow Brow as well. Great. So I now lead over both schools, but I am based the majority of the time in Parkview.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you must be very highly thought of. That's what I think that says to me, is that you're clearly very highly thought of, that actually, you know, that opportunity to work across two schools came up and you were asked to do it.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely take it as a compliment. It's also a challenge.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah, it's not easy. I think leading an early years team when you're not necessarily there all of the time is hard anyway, even if you're in the same school. So I think it must be doubly hard when actually you're not in the same school all of the time.
Yeah, both schools have the majority of the senior leadership is the same.
Yes,
so
good.
We have all our senior leadership meetings together. So
I see.
What goes in one school goes in another. So in those terms, it works really well because there's a real kind of synergy between the two schools.
Yeah.
Obviously, not being on the ground can, you know, raises a few difficulties, but I've got a really good team over in Blacklow and all of the senior leadership team over the past, you know, several years have really been educating themselves upon early years as well, as is needed now.
Absolutely. I was going to say that actually links quite nicely, doesn't it, into what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Is we are Ofsted inspections, and for you the pilot inspection leading up to the new framework. So just remind me when it was. It was back in October, is that right?
Yeah, 14th and 15th of October, so towards the end of that autumn term, really, autumn one term.
Okay, and within that time, how long did it last?
So we had a two-day inspection.
Okay.
And it was kind of as, you know, as the traditional inspections were before. So they arrived first thing in the morning on the first day, and then they were here for the full 2 days with kind of decisions and conversations held the second afternoon.
And when you say they... That was it three inspectors? Is that right?
Yeah, so they were all HMIs because they were obviously the people who were then going to go out and lead that Ofsted inspections initially.
Yeah.
So we had three HMIs with one of them declared lead over the inspection. And then a fourth HMI arrived the next day, but we didn't really see him. He was more there to be part of their conversations and kind of moderating the inspection from the, you know, Ofsted's point of view.
Yes. Yes, I see. And funnily enough, when I bumped into you, which was at a conference over in Liverpool in Knowsley, I was talking about sort of national updates. And part of that, those national updates were about the new Ofsted framework. And I kind of shared key messages around how the EYFS was going to be very much a focal point for inspections, you know, within the new framework. I shared a lot about safeguarding. I shared a lot about some of the key messages that are coming through. And what was great was actually you came out to the front afterwards and you said, oh, well, all of the things you've just shared were exactly right because we've just had the pilot inspection and it absolutely ran just as you've described it. And so I thought it'd be quite interesting to give people the benefit of that who listen to the podcast. So we talk about an EYFS focus, don't we? Okay, so... there's been a lot that's been said about, you know, the fact that there will be an EYFS focus in terms of the Ofsted framework and the Ofsted inspections. So for you, what did that look like? You know, could you describe that to us?
Yeah, it was certainly different. As I mentioned, we'd actually had an Ofsted, a full, you know, full 2 day Ofsted in Parkview about a year before we'd taken part in this.
Yes.
So it was quite interesting. I really had that experience to kind of look at the two and see those differences because it was so fresh for us. I would say in the original framework, I always felt like Ofsted kind of would come in for an hour in early years, if that, and base their judgments off such a short amount of time. That was definitely not the case with the pilot. We were a huge focus. They made that very clear when they shared their schedule in the call the day before, where they basically had an Ofsted inspector in or around early years for the majority of the first day. And whilst initially I wondered how much we'd actually see of them, we did. They were in with us for pretty much the whole of the first day and meeting with me specifically as well.
I see. Okay. And so what was the nature of that? Were they, when you say that they were with you, Were they with you right sort of, you know, were they in the classroom? Were they outside in the outdoor area? You know, whereabouts?
Yeah. All of those. It was very thorough.
Okay.
We started the day, obviously they met the staff and, well, you know, said hello and introduced themselves. And I've got to say they were all very friendly and very approachable.
Yes.
And then I went back to my classroom and opened the door to welcome the children and the Ofsted inspector was standing outside the door. So that was different.
Yes.
And she was just observing, really, just observing the interactions on the playground before the children came into the classrooms. She was talking to a few of the parents.
Okay.
And then she came into the classroom as well and just observed. I'm in nursery in our school. So she came into the nursery classroom, just observed the children as they came in and the routines that we have in place. She did the whole thing with a smile. It was, you know, she did put us at ease. Good. And then she went back out and then she went did the same thing in reception as well. So she watched all of those initial interactions, how we were welcoming the children, if the children knew where they were going, you know, if those routines were really in place, which happily for us, that's a big part of our day. And we get those in place really early on. So she could see that. And then she disappeared for a short time to go and type up her notes. And at that point, I was scheduled to go and meet her. So I then went and met her outside their office that they were based in. And I took her on a learning walk of early years.
Great.
Rather than a meeting, actually, I didn't have an official kind of sit-down meeting, which I've had previously. A lot of their research and a lot of the conversations I had as lead were as we walked through the setting.
Good. And that, I'm thinking of it from my point of view. I think if that was me, I think I would feel more relaxed in that scenario, taking somebody around the space and explaining it practically rather than trying to sit at a desk, across a desk from somebody, trying to tell them that you do something when actually clearly that's not in front of us. Was that the case for you? I don't know whether that's the same for everybody, but that would be the case for me.
I was really confident in the team and what we do here every day. So I think that helped me because I knew exactly what we were going to see when we went into the setting. I knew exactly what I could talk about. In that way, it certainly did put me at ease, and it was lovely to be able to kind of grasp certain moments that we saw and draw her attention to those and kind of almost show off, which is hard to do when you're sitting in an office just having a conversation at the table. But at the same time, I kept thinking, I wish I'd said that because I didn't have my notes on me. I wish I'd told her about this. And so there was definitely two sides to it. But I do think in terms of, you know, keeping you relaxed, it's an easier way to go about it. You don't feel quite as intimidated. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And then within that, obviously that's quite general, isn't it? Within that, did you then feel that there was a kind of a focus or a number of foci to the conversations?
Yeah, there certainly was. They'd chosen 6 children throughout the school as their kind of spotlight children, their focus children. Okay. They'd done that. I think they did that the morning of as they arrived. So 2 of those children will be and are from early years. So we'd been told who they were. And when they were walking through the room, they were asking us to point those children out. So they were actively looking at, you know, what that child's day looks like and asking me to talk about them as well. I would say one of the biggest changes that I think we felt as a senior leadership team was the onus was on us. Even though, you know, we would be in the reception classroom, and I don't teach the reception class, I do know them all and I sent most of them up. But she really expected me to have a great knowledge of the individual children in that class, even though they weren't mine.
Yes.
So, look, you know, I did have that. So I could have those conversations with her. But I would say, you know, if some of those children were new to school, and if it had been a new to school child, I might not have had that level of knowledge.
Yeah.
About a new child.
That's interesting. But the good thing is that you did know that. And so it kind of plays to your strengths, doesn't it? That clearly you do know all of your children well, and clearly you do work well as a team across your EYFS. And so there is that joined up thinking, there's that consistency there that I would think then would come across.
Yeah. And as I say, you know, for us, that was a real opportunity to showcase that from my school's point of view. And throughout the school, I think, you know, all of the senior leaders were able to answer those questions.
Yes.
And those questions were asked of senior leaders throughout the school, not just in EYFS. So I know in Key Stage 1, senior leaders were asked about which children achieved GLD last year. Okay. And, you know, what had been put in place for the children who hadn't achieved it specifically, even though, you know, those senior leaders weren't necessarily working in year one, we were still kind of expected to answer those questions.
But having an understanding of that is key though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned before, our senior leadership team has worked very hard in recent years to get a better understanding and develop a greater kind of appreciation of early years. And they've all worked really hard on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
We're able to check that off.
Yes. And it's a two-way process, of course, because it usually involves the early years team being open to discussing what it is that they do and which children they've got some concerns about, or which children are not going to achieve that GLD, or, you know, and why, all of those sorts of things. It's an open conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And so when they chose their spotlight children, they took, you know, some of those factors into consideration. So they were looking at, you know, our pupil premium children, SEND children. We were also, like, we didn't have any looked after children at the time, but we were able to kind of suggest children that may be under special guardianship. So we, you know, had quite a pool to choose from.
Yes.
And they were constantly, as I mentioned, asking me to point those children out and talk about, you know, what had been put in place and what we had.
Yes.
To adapt for their needs.
Yes. Yeah.
As they walked through, they also were looking at, she obviously had her specific areas of learning that she asked me about. So the inspector asked me about how we deliver writing in early years, but she would quite regularly stop me and then observe. So if she saw something that she particularly wanted to kind of watch, then I would be stopped mid-conversation for her to go and observe that. I probably rambled a bit, but yeah, she was certainly looking at early writing, and then she asked me to take her outside and show her where the opportunities for that were outside as well.
That's good, really, isn't it? Because certainly in the past, I think there've been, I'm sure many people would agree, I think that there've been times where actually inspectors might come into the classroom within early years, but not really step outside. I can certainly think of times when that's happened when I was teaching. And I think, well, that's such a big part of the role. To miss out such a big chunk of it just doesn't seem right to me. And so, I mean, I'm pleased that actually that is the case.
Yeah, definitely felt like is difficult, isn't it? Because I had an inspector who I felt understood early years. So
yes.
I felt like I was able to speak to her and she was understanding what I was saying. So when she was asking about early writing, I started talking about the physical development side of it, and she was completely on board with that. She understood, you know, that what I was speaking wasn't nonsense, that it was, you know, where early writing actually starts rather than the pen and paper. But I would hope that that's something that all the Ofsted inspectors are now trained in, and that would be consistent across Ofsted inspections, that they understand where these things begin.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So it sounds pretty intense from an early years lead point of view, that you were with the inspector for the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah, and what they did is we had one inspector with us up until about break time, and another inspector was in Key Stage 1 until break time, and then those inspectors swapped after break time.
Okay.
It felt very much like they were kind of triangulating the information that they'd been given. So when I'd previously discussed like what we'd put in place for transition and things like that during our learning walk, and then I believe she was asking questions about that when she went into year one later.
I see. So she was kind of following the children in a way from early years through into Key Stage 1, and the other inspector was coming the other way.
Yeah.
So you had half the morning with one inspector and then the other half with the other inspector.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So when the other inspector joined, that sort of a similar line of inquiry, or did you feel that actually were you starting again and describing the same things again, or was it a different chat?
Seemed to have a maths focus. We weren't informed of this. It was just what you could clearly see from the questioning. She seemed to have a maths focus, so then she was again asked me to go outside and discuss the maths opportunities outside. And also that's when she started to ask a bit more about safeguarding as well, whereas the other inspector hadn't questioned me on that. So she started to look into who were our first aiders, where were they positioned within the unit, and also we discussed the new guidance for safer eating as well. And as a school, have personally taken the choice to change our snack. And we now deliver our snack kind of whole class, which we didn't. We had continuous snack previously. So I just discussed, you know, why we'd made that decision and acknowledged that, you know, it does have an impact on learning.
Of course.
We're compensating for that in different ways, but, you know, made it clear that we'd read that guidance and were adhering to it.
Yes. Very good. In the lead up to the inspection, did you go through a lot of the paperwork to do with the framework?
Yeah, we'd, because we'd had to redo our CEP and SIP for school. That's all language I'm getting used to. So when I'd been writing that with the senior leadership team, I'd been looking very closely at the guidance in the new framework and just, you know, discussing about what we do that shows, you know, how we can evidence that, basically. Yeah. So we were quite attuned to what they were looking for.
Yeah. So for people listening, presumably you would recommend that they would do the same thing, go through the guidance.
Yeah,
examples.
Yeah, it's a very different focus. There's so much more that they're looking for on, you know, regarding communication and language, which I don't think has ever really been a focus for them if it wasn't phonics before.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in there about, you know, the explicit teaching of vocabulary and supporting those children who have that language gap as well.
Yes.
We were really fortunate as a setting because Knowsley had, over the past 2 years, as you know, Andy, have been really focused on communication and language, and we'd both the settings that I'm leading completed the Alcon communication friendly status last year. So that was amazing for us because I literally walked around and demonstrated the interactions and the planning and all those things that we'd put in place directly from that training.
Yes, brilliant, brilliant. Okay. I'm thinking as well of, you know, it's very interesting, of course, to talk about what they did ask you about and what did come up. But I'm also quite interested to know what didn't come up and what they didn't ask to see or you know, didn't seem to be as interested in.
They didn't ask. I did explain to them how we planned for certain things. For instance, we have a vocabulary kind of map for the year for all our areas of learning. That was up on the wall, so they could see that.
Okay.
And I volunteered certain parts of our curriculum when I was talking about how we'd sequenced the learning from nursery, you know, through to key stage one. So I did volunteer the pieces that I was happy for them to have. And they took, you know, they were happy to take, but they didn't ask. Yeah. And also like various pieces of evidence that I'd collated from going through the framework really as well. So I had like our ELCLAN audit and things like that, which all was, you know, physical evidence supporting what they were looking for.
But I'm putting words in your mouth here, but am I right in thinking then that we're not talking about reams of evidence or reams of work, children's work or anything like that, that you're having to get together? You know, when you talk about those, you know, the small number of focus children, was it 2 or 3 children that were a focus for early in terms of early years? You're not talking about having a great big folder full of all sorts of photographs and notes and documentation or anything like that. No.
No, and I would say, see, in a school like Parkview, we have a high number of pupil premium children and it would be very difficult to know who they'd choose. Exactly. So you wouldn't, you just couldn't do it. But I did feel like, you know, when they were walking around with me, they were asking a lot of questions and they were, you know, seeing what they wanted to see. And perhaps if they hadn't seen that, then they might have started asking. Yeah. For paperwork, I don't know, but they certainly didn't ask us for anything that we had to go and get in a panic.
It sounds like the focus was more on actually what am I seeing here and now today rather than actually give me evidence of when this has happened.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because you want to have a fair judgment made of you by Ofsted. Okay.
Yeah.
And when they only come in for 20 minutes and they make a judgment, if it's one that you're not happy with, then it feels very unjust.
Yes, sure.
The flip side of this now is they are spending a lot of time in the classroom. You do get to put your best foot forward, but that's quite scary to have an Ofsted inspector in the classroom.
Yeah, what you say.
To be observed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so presumably when you think about actually that putting your best foot forward, you know, showing your best side, if you like, part of that is actually being ready in terms of the learning environment and what that looks like and how well organized that is and your use of print and so on, but also how you've introduced those to the children so that actually they're using it well. And then alongside that, things like displays, for example, you know, what's up around the room, that actually will be key, won't it, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those things become your evidence as well, don't they? Because they commented on, given that it was so early in the term, you know, they were very complimentary on how settled the children in early years were. And it's due to exactly what you're talking about there. It's due to the amount of thought the team have put into the environment, the amount of extra hours we spend, you know, cleaning and labelling and making sure everything's there. And also as a team, one of the big things that we're on top of is, you know, everybody understands exactly why everything's there. Everything's there with a purpose, and we can all explain that, and we're all making sure that that's how those resources are being used. And it's because of that, I think our children were so settled so early and that was there for them to see. So, yeah, I was very proud of everybody for that.
Did they talk to other members of the team? I know you were talking about consistency across the team. Did they talk to other members of the team?
Yeah, they did. They had a few questions for them. The So during phonics, they opened a child's learning journey, kind of their book, and there were some gaps where the child hadn't been in. And so she was asking me, you know, I think that was actually one of the spotlight children, and they chose her for a lower tenses, even though it was so early in the year. And she was asking me, you know, how do you go about catching that learning up? And then when I gave an answer, she then went to triangulate that. So then she asked a couple of staff members. So they were, you know, I was kind of being checked up on by the questions they were asking the staff. She was also, you know, she did ask a few of them about how we support pupil premium children in particular, and about our enrichment program and things like that as well. I'd previously spoken to her about, so there was triangulation just within the EYFS as well.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff. Interesting. If you had the time to do this again, all right, and I'm not wishing that on you, but if with hindsight that you've, obviously you now know about the process itself, and with hindsight, if you had that time again, would you do it differently? Was there any, I know you mentioned earlier on that you were doing the sort of the tour around and you didn't have your notes with you. Would you have your notes with you? Would that be better? I don't know.
I had them, but I just didn't feel like I had time to look through them. And to, like, as I say, you know, and I said earlier, I mean, it was a pilot inspection, so it may be that the inspectors present differently in an official inspection, but the two inspectors that I spent the most time with were very keen to put me at ease. And when I did seem to struggle for an answer, they said, oh, do you want to get back to me in a minute? So I did have time to go and grab, you know, have a quick flick through my folder and go, this is what I wanted to tell you about.
Good.
So, you know, in terms of having a folder with information in it, I think it is useful as long as the information's quite targeted. I don't, you know, if I was going through reams of paper, that wouldn't have been helpful.
Yes.
I kind of had some focus, you know, data and, as I say, certain reports that I knew would support us. I think in terms of things that I'm already thinking about, because we are due an Ofsted inspection in the other schools.
Well, that's why I was going to, that was kind of the next thing I was going to ask you about, is that you have a unique role, don't you? You know, as we said right at the very beginning, you are working across two schools. So what you learn from the experience of the pilot inspection in one, you can take to the other in terms of potentially a real inspection. Okay. Intrigued to know then, you know, the pilot inspection finished, and then you kind of almost sort of had a bit of breathing space, I guess, and then thought, right, having had a bit of chance to think about this, there must have been certain things that you thought, right, I need to take this forward in the other school. And I'm intrigued to know what that was.
I think obviously it's a very inclusion-based inspection as well. So like throughout all of these things that I was talking about that were EYFS specific, they were looking for the adaptations we make for the children who need an adaptation to access those activities or the curriculum or, you know, any of those things. And she was specifically asking me as well about the SEN children and if they achieved GLD last year. And if they didn't, she wanted me to talk about those children and talk about the progress that they did make. And we did have a child who didn't really access our curriculum, and she had quite a professional conversation with me about how would we then, you know, show that child's progress if those steps are so much smaller than our curriculum even, you know, delivers. And I could talk about the child and she was really happy with that, but she was kind of saying, is there anything tangible that we could, you know, that you can kind of track this child on? And that's something that we have, as an SLT, are discussing constantly now, is, you know, how, you know, so that those SEND children who are, you know, not achieving where you're expecting, you know, age-related expectations, making sure that you can still see that progress somewhere.
Yeah. Written down. No, absolutely. That's interesting. Yeah. And certainly schools do that, you know, so using things like development matters is a good starting point for tracking back and working out developmentally where children are at, I think. And there are other tracking tools that are available that I know, I work with quite a few special schools, specialist provision schools, and they use tracking materials that are really obviously very detailed because you need those really small steps, like you say.
Yeah, and we have one that we use. We just hadn't had kind of a tangible way to, I don't know, I think I felt like they wanted that put into some sort of data. Does that make sense? Rather than like they, you know, they made seven steps in this area of learning. I feel like what they wanted was for us to be able to kind of data that in some way.
That's
and I might be completely wrong, but that's how it felt.
No, that's hard. Because at the same time, data generally is most powerful when we're talking about it being something that's collective, not something that is about an individual child. To a certain extent. You know, it's the data generally, when you put it all together, it's what messages that tells you about the whole group and where the gaps are, and therefore what tells you about the practice, because there are certain patterns that have emerged. Do you see what I mean? Whereas kind of with one child or maybe two children, it's, you don't get quite the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. And when we were talking about the general data for the cohort, that was, you could tell that that was what they wanted to hear as well. So when I was talking about, you know, kind of our baseline data, I was then informing them how we'd use that and what we'd put into place from what we'd learned from the baseline to ensure that children progressed. And so I think, you know, what you're saying there is absolutely right.
Yeah, it's about the patterns, isn't it? The data, you know, it's not just about having the data, but has the school identified the patterns? And from those patterns, have you identified perhaps strengths or perhaps areas for development in terms of the practice? That's always the key, isn't it? So the data doesn't just tell us about the children, it tells us about the practice and how we've led, you know, up to that point in terms of the data. That's the thing, I think, isn't it? Okay, so in terms of the, in terms of Blacklow Brow, in terms of your second school, you've gone over there and you've thought, right, we need to make sure that we are really on it in terms of special educational needs, and particularly that kind of tracking of small steps. Okay. Yes. Anything else? What else did you take over there and you thought, right, this has got to be something we're ready for when we do get to that inspection?
I think for me as a lead, it's knowledge of the children. And because obviously I'm not based there on a day in, day out basis. Like I'm over here and over here. A lot of those children I've sent up myself, so I've known them for a long time, or I'm seeing them, you know, constantly throughout the day. So it's definitely, as a senior leader, knowledge of the children that I'm not teaching directly. And I would say that that would be something that any school should listen to, really, if your senior leaders aren't completely familiar with those kind of, you know, spotlight children or, you know, cohorts that have particular needs, then that's something that you do need to sweep up on.
And for you, what does that look like? You know, is that sort of almost like pupil progress meetings almost with other members of staff to then, you know, look at a group of children and say, right, tell me succinctly about this child. Tell me about where they're at. Tell me what their interests and fascinations are. Tell me where the gaps are. Tell me where their strengths are. All of those sorts of things. Is that right?
Yeah, we have internally pupil progress meetings as part of our trust anyway. So we, in terms of, for me, it's really about the personal. It's about being in the classroom more when I'm there. So I spend a day a week there, and it's about, you know, spending more time just getting to know them on a personal level, because I very much, you know, the teachers in Blacklow are amazing at keeping me informed, and they're all, you know, so proactive. They're doing everything they need to be doing. And it's just about me now letting that filter into my head. And, you know, putting faces to those names properly.
Yes.
That side of things, really. And just kind of, again, like I say, we were really fortunate to have done the ALCLAN accreditation in both schools. So just making sure all of that really is as embedded as it needs to be, that those quality interactions.
Yes.
We don't get too distracted by, you know, bringing children to tables to do reading and the adults are in the area.
The balance there.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I think the other thing that I was going to say as well, that I think comes across very clearly in what you're saying, is that the practice on the ground in the classroom on the day or days that the inspectors are in has to very much fit with what you're saying, doesn't it? You know, that there's no hiding that, is there? There's no escape from that. You can't go and sit in the office and tell them one thing, because when actually it might not be happening, because actually the conversation may well be happening in the classroom. And the inspectors are going to have plenty of time to see whether it is or it isn't embedded or in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a leader, you know, having the confidence that what you're saying is in place is so vital, I think, with this new framework. Yeah, as you say, there's nowhere to hide. And as we all know, in early years, the children will give you up if you say it's been happening every day and it hasn't.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it is probably, you know, for people who are getting ready for an inspection and they know that they are either in the window at the moment or about to be going into that Ofsted window, I think going back over the things that we have said are in place and then going and having a look and seeing, is it absolutely in place? Is it embedded? Or did we do it last year and then maybe we've taken our eye off the ball a bit? You see what I mean? Because that happens, doesn't it? Naturally in school. That can happen, of course. And I think we've got to be ready for that, I think, really.
Yeah, and again, like, I think it's so easy, especially at certain times of year in early years, to get kind of swept up in the, you know, in everything, because there's so much, isn't there? And going back to those interactions, and that was, you know, one of the things that I kept talking about and kept bringing the inspectors back to, is just, for our children, communication language is absolutely key. And without it, you know, doesn't the bells and whistles matter if it's not there. So I just kept, I was banging on about that a lot, and they could see that happening, and they could see the impact that, you know, that had the year before and would have this year, will have.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast. It's really interesting stuff, And thank you for sharing the experience with us. I know lots of people out there who are, as I say, either in the Ofsted window or about to go into it at some point. I'm sure that they will listen to this and find it interesting and very useful too. So thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So there you go. Thank you very much to Leanne for joining us for this week's episode of the podcast. Certainly lots there to get you thinking and discussing in your team. Thank you very much to Leanne. And thank you, of course, to you people for listening along as well. We'll see you next week. Have a good week, everybody.